What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Where you celebrated the chip at?
At the Palace. We stayed at the Palace all night. And we didn't leave till like about 9, 10 that next morning.
Damn.
We was drinking. I live like about less than a mile from the Palace. So, you know, the brothers who indulged in the dro.
Yep.
Ran to my crib real quick.
Yep.
Boom, bang. Ran back up to the Palace.
Yeah.
And we was grubbing and drinking all night. I ain't take my uniform off.
Yeah.
All I did was cut my tape off and change my sneakers. I still have my tights, the same blood stains on this jersey, everything. Kept that on there. Headband. Like,
y'all was remember this. Y'all was in your house with your Detroit Piston uniforms all smoking and then went back to the Palace.
I was.
I love it. Yeah.
One business deal that didn't come to fruition for you, Nike.
Oh,
you offered
my God.
A Nike deal, and today the estimated worth would have been $5.2 billion. I mean, you're doing fine, but talk to us about that Nike situation,
oh,
though, the
man.
Reason why you chose
thanks
Converse.
A lot.
It would have been
thanks
an easier
lot.
B.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
he still got a B, but it could have been an easier
man.
B.
Yeah. So here I am just winning the national championship against Larry Bird, and three companies came in. So Converse, Adidas, and Nike. Nike was just a year or two old. And so Converse offered me the most money. So, you know, when you grow up broke, you take the money. So, Phil Knight came in and said, hey, I can't offer you the same type of money, but I can offer you stock.
Wasn't trying to hear that then.
I wasn't trying to hear that then. And I didn't know nothing about it. And my family didn't come from money. Yeah. See, that's one thing that hurt us sometimes. When you don't come from money, you don't know what's... I didn't even know what stocks was at that time, right? So I passed on the stocks.
Damn.
Can you imagine?
Damn.
45 years.
Oof.
$5 billion that stock would have been worth today.
Oof.
But like Jack said, you're the reason. You're the reason why we wore Converse though, because I got me a pair of Magics too. But like, no one would have touched Converse.
I got Larry a blister right now from '95, still from them damn shoes.
So this is why mostly every day that I train, like literally, I'm not exaggerating, I almost died every day because I wanted to quit. Chris Jackson wanted to stop at an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Tourette's syndrome said, no, man, you got to play me now. And it's got to be just like this.
Perfect.
And no matter how tired you are, you got to fight through it. You can't take no rest. If there's a glitch in the move before you shoot it, it don't count. If all of the shots have to go net, everything had to feel perfect. Those last 10 shots of that, if I trained an hour and a half, I have 10 shots to make. And I got to get them up. Everything had to feel perfect, coming off my hand, the dribble, the planting of my feet. And if one thing was off, even if I made the shot, I couldn't go back and say, if I'm at 9 in a row and I hit 10 and it skims the rim, I can't retake the shot and say 10. I have to start at 0. That may take me another hour and a half.
Mm.
Then I'm leaving the court. I'm dribbling. As I'm leaving the court, if the ball don't feel right a few times, I back up. I'm underneath the goal again. I shoot it, don't feel right. I got to do that same 10, same way, two times. That's when I started. I said, I got to improvise, because if I don't, I'm going to kill myself. I had to take the ball and I had to throw it towards my house after I finished. That way, when I finally got the ball and I was dribbling, I mess up, I back up, I'm not underneath the goal.
Yeah.
I can make it home. Then I had to come back and do that again.
That's crazy.
Before the day was over. So that was, I don't know, if I would have known that statistically, we had a better chance of becoming doctors and lawyers.
Yeah, than basketball players.
I don't know if I would have went through that.
Right.
Because literally I was, every day, man, I had to wake up and I was threatening, you know, death. And I'm not exaggerating.
Kenny briefly spoke to this when we had him. Your first impression when Shaq came to the crew and he brought his DJ set, his hookah lounge, and all this kind of shit right off the really seen him shake his head right off the bat.
So
we're in a room, we got like some, it's asked like something like this. We have every game on and a bunch of networks.
Mm-hmm.
Shaq's in the other room smoking hookah. He loves hookah, loves it, every day. And he's in there smoking hookah in LA, and then he's practicing his DJ stuff. Apparently he's a pretty good DJ.
No, he is.
Yeah. And like loud as hell, loud as hell. He's smoking hookah. And we go in like, yo, man. It's crazy. He's in there practicing his DJ thing. And finally they said, yo, man, you can't smoke hookah in the building. He goes out in the parking lot and he's smoking hookah. And he loves it.
He loves it.
He loves his hookah. and he just makes us laugh, man.
Because
he's got a pure heart.
Oh, man.
But, man, when he first came there, but the thing that was really funny, the first night, he do something funny. Second night, he do something funny. Third night, he do something funny. And then he says, like, hey, I need you guys. I want to try this next week. We're like, yo, man, you know we're on TV like 100 and some days. You can't try to do some shit every night.
Out-top each other every year.
So we're like, the joke around the studio became like, hey, we like five shows of Shaq setting himself on fire on TV.
Five shows?
Because
like, yeah,
he was actually thinking, like, I've got to outdo myself.
How do I top myself every week?
We're like, yo, man, we're only four shows in. We got 100 shows. And that's when we came up with the joke, what do you think about show 10, 12? You're going to set yourself on fire? And that became the joke.
I studied martial arts for a long time.
Okay, so you'd be
and
good.
And I boxed for a long time. And I'm a nonviolent jokester. But no one ever threw a punch at me. I remember I told one guy, I told Alonzo, I said, swing at me. I said, I promise you, you should swing at me. I said,
you should swing at me.
You should swing at me.
With that reverse psychology. Yeah. That might get you thinking for a second, like, yo, this motherfucker might have something
yeah.
for me.
And I remember, we just started messing with him. I said, Dennis thinks you're cute. And Dennis would, Dennis had asthma, so he's breathing funny. And he was like, what's wrong with y'all? I said, he thinks you're cute.
Hey, because I've seen the video. Dennis Rodman was standing straight behind him. And he go, and Zoe comes out the game. He's looking at you. You a sick motherfucker, man. You sick. You are sick.
Dennis is like, any way to get in, he's like, I don't know. Look at his calves. Got great calves. Look at his calves. Your calves are great. How'd you get calves like that? Lonzo was like, y'all are sick.
Give me one of your best college memories on off the court.
Oh, man. You want to hear a funny one? When I got rolled for a dime bag in my driveway. Yes, the police were hate. It's so ironic because 2 years after, the cannabis was legalized in the state of Washington. Yeah. And I had to apologize. I got suspended.
Was that right before the draft?
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's the only time I ever made the national headlines.
In your driveway?
In my driveway, broken tail light.
With a dime bag.
With a dime bag, man. Is
that a bitch?
I would have swallowed the plastic.
Jack said he would have swallowed it all.
Yeah, plastic and all.
The culture around
where they find it at? Where they find
it? My glove compartment. I was very sober driving. I'm not an idiot, I'm not going to be inebriated behind the wheel, like jeopardize my future.
Right.
I come home, just got a nice little sack on me. I'm like, okay, it's going to be a decent night. I might play Rock Band and just chill out.
Just get blown. All right.
Yeah. And I see these flashing lights. I'm like, no way. What's going on?
Right when you're pulling up to your house?
Literally right when I get in my driveway.
Damn.
And I'd be like, sure.
It's kind of good enough. You play some Rock Band.
Yeah, bro. It's crazy. And they're like, sir, you have a broken taillight and we smell marijuana. Can we get out your car? Can you get out your car? I'm like, don't you need a warrant for that? They're like, we can get one. I'm like, whatever, man. Just search the car. And I was all upset. They put me in cuffs. Like, I'm like, for a bag of weed? I was in cuffs, like in the back of the car.
They take you downtown?
They shamed me. No, they didn't take me downtown. Okay.
Did they know who you were?
Of course they did. It's okay. A small city, bro. Okay. Pullman's a city of 30,000 people.
Okay.
They put me in the back, and I'm just like, immediately it comes to mind, it's like, God, my parents are going to be so upset. They're going to be so disappointed.
So disappointed.
Gosh. Man, they let me go, but I got a citation for it. And then, it hit the...
But that was
media.
Before the draft. I remember they made a big deal about that. Like,
they did.
I remember
they were
talking about, about
like,
the, because the draft was right on the
geez,
way.
Jeez, guys, it didn't hurt anybody. I just literally had a bag of weed. Like,
I always tell a story about how I didn't get the rookie hazing.
Because of him?
Because of him. They wanted all that kicking the ball in the stadium and go get donuts and none of that shit. Kmart was not going. And I was a rookie right there. So if he ain't got to do it, I ain't got to do it.
Yeah, that kind of stepped your game. Oh, man. Hell,
what? Kmart said, we ain't got to do that shit. Y'all gonna take up that shit. I ain't going to get no donuts. Kmart said, I ain't got to do it. Y'all go take that shit up.
Like, I just had the mentality, man, like ain't no grown man going to make me do nothing. But that just, I wasn't 19 when I came in. I wasn't 18 when I got drafted. I was 22. Strong as an ox.
Yes, that's sir. What we was on, though.
3% body fat, nigga. I was, listen, dog. I'm not doing it. You ain't making me. If I want to buy donuts, I'm going to do it on my own terms.
Yeah.
If I want to help the manager with the bags, yeah. I'm going to help them because out of kindness of my fucking heart.
Yeah, not because not I'm being told to.
No, not at all. You're not going to.
Who was on this team? Who was on this team?
We was ready to squab, though. Y'all know.
Oh, and I told him in a fight.
Whoever wanted to fight, we finna back to back. Me and him.
Hey, I told him in a fight come with it, man. Like, I was dead ass serious, bro.
Going.
Who was on the team?
Kendall Gill.
Like, we had real
Johnny
vet.
Newman.
Johnny Newman, Sherman Douglas.
We had some solid vets.
Steph Lucius. Yeah, it was the dudes on the, like, real vets. But yep. I told them,
they respected it.
I ain't doing, listen, man, I ain't doing nothing. Yep. He like, y'all ain't going to make him neither.
Nah, right there. Like,
it was a situation. So it was a situation. I ain't going to say the vet name. Like, it was a situation. The dude wanted some shoes that Jack had.
Yeah, he tried to take my shoes.
We in the shower. He come trying to like, Jack, what's up with them shoes? Jack like, man, you can have them. He like, shit, I was going to say I was going to take them, veteran choice. It ain't, he ain't even talking to me. I said, man, you ain't taking shit from nobody here, dog.
You try to go try to debunk my shoes. Like, you ain't taking shit from nobody. I was going to take them anyway.
Hey, you going to eat your cornbread?
Yeah, who's that? Yeah.
He say this. I was going to take them anyway. Can I say, what? You ain't going to take shit in here.
Not from nobody, man. Ain't nobody going for that, bro.
So like, Kmart was like the
joints I had.
So Kmart
was like, it was Kendra Gill. Hey. He ain't got to buy that. It was Kendra Gill motherfucking ass.
But time out.
We both was from Texas, so you know I was starched down.
Hey, Kmart was like the real big buff dog, and he was a little dog running around talking shit to fuck with everybody.
Nah, hey, you know what? It was kind of like that, but I was biting too.
Yeah, I was biting too.
You know what I'm saying? Hell yeah, but I let him go and talk because I didn't have to. He was the number one pick, so I couldn't talk. My words really didn't have no weight. You know what I'm saying? But once he said something, yeah, he said that.
Man,
right, that's what I was doing.
Because I could do that because the way I played the game, the way we played the game, like whatever I had to do or say, let's go out in this 94-50, man.
Yeah.
Like, let's get to it. Like, no matter what's being done, I'm not doing none of that, whatever it is, let's go hoop, man.
And we had the coolest trainer, so he was really with us, too.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Tim was really with us, too.
Absolutely. So, it was...
You gonna eat your cornbread?
Yeah, man, he tried me. Man, I was in my first year. I'm barely making the league. I just came from overseas, going through all this shit, trying to get here, and now I get here, and this motherfucker trying to Debo my shoes. Like, I couldn't believe that.
Like, nah,
I couldn't believe
that
shit. Where are we?
Yeah. It was, you know, one of the greatest friendships I've ever had in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Laughing on that set.
Oh my God.
I can only imagine.
Oh my God.
I can only imagine.
I'm gonna tell a story I've never told.
Please. Love it. Love it. Love it.
So,
please.
Martin was newly married. So he was like, Will, you know, in Miami, he was like, I'm not doing nothing. I'm not doing nothing.
So, this is for the first one?
First one. Okay. For the first one. Newly married. He was like, dude, I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I was like, Marty, Ma, we in Miami. Right. Come on, you got it. He was like, no. I was like, dude, it's like, we got to go. It's like, for the culture.
Mm-hmm.
They know, like, we the bad boys. Like, they know. It's like,
for life.
Yeah, it's like, come on, man. Right? So Prince had a club called Glam Slam.
Glam Slam?
Glam Slam.
Sounds like
Prince
trouble.
Had a club in Miami. Right, yeah. So you can imagine what a Prince club was like. So it
purple
was,
everywhere.
Yeah.
Everything suede.
You gotta have nice hair to get in.
Yeah. Damn, I can't get in there. I'm with you though. I'm with you. I'll
see what I can do.
So I get Martin. I was like, Martin, come on. Prince got this.
You can't turn down Prince.
Come on, Martin, come on. He was like, man, all right, so we go. And Martin is literally sitting there with his hand. And he's sitting there, and
it's thick.
It's wild. Like, I'd never seen nothing like this club, right? So we're sitting there, and there's a balcony that looks over onto the dance floor. So we're up in the balcony, VIP, we're sitting there. Martin's sitting, and there's like girls like you just can't, you know, you've been to Miami,
yes,
so
yeah,
you're not, right?
Yeah.
So the girl walks up and stands in front of Martin, and she's standing there, and she's dancing in front of Martin, and he's like, oh, come on. And she lifts her skirt up, and she has nothing on under, and she's asking Martin if they could. She wants to have sex in the club. And I look at Martin, and he's like, this one don't fucking go nowhere with you.
Right out the door. He was
right
gone.
Out the door. He pissed. Just like right out of there.
Pissed. You should have hit us like, baby, you would have hit me 3 months ago. We could have been.
Martin and I have never been out again.
Since. Damn.
Never been out again.
Another notable name, some may know, Michael Jackson.
Yeah, Michael Jackson used to beat my daddy ass in the talent shows.
Oh, really? And your dad had some talent?
Yeah, my dad sing. My dad in the Satellites, matter of fact. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, so, but like, he, you know what I mean? Like, you know, tried to go, because him and Mike the same age. So, you know, they was always bumping heads in the talent shows. And Michael fucked that nigga up. I was like, man, you can't fuck with Mike. Fuck you talk, man. Fuck you talk, nigga. And then, nigga, them niggas did a talent show. Like, Mike brought the whole group out on his motherfucking ass. I'm like, you up there solo. He got Tito, Jermaine. They all doing, they in step. They got moves. They got Joe. You know what I'm saying? Like, they had Joe pushing them niggas. Right. Like, you ain't had nobody. You just had your mama telling you, yes, my baby. Like, nigga, Mike had a team, nigga. So you,
weak curls.
You could, yeah, nigga. He couldn't fuck with Mike. I love you, Dad, but you know you can't fuck with Mike.
I love you.
You know, goddamn well you can't fuck with Mike. Mike was fucking you up your whole life. We be watching motherfucking Michael Jackson on TV my day, like, turn that motherfucking shit off, man.
He didn't want to see no part of it.
He be listening to it on the low, though.
When I first met him, I said, all right, I'm going to see this dude, this white cat can really go like he's
saying,
because
the verdict is always out on white boys nigga hoop, with all due respect. It's always out.
It's respect. This ain't nothing bad. So I said, let me see what he can do.
But Larry had something that most white boys don't have. Just say that. Just keep it real.
Man,
Larry was different now.
He had a little bit of nigger.
Yeah, he was different now. He was different now. Larry was different now.
That boy, he can play, man. He turned it out. We played on a team in college in a tournament together. This is the first time I ever sat on the bench. Him and I were on the bench.
Mm.
And we were like, the guys in front of us wasn't better than us, but Kentucky head coach was coaching the team, so he started three guys from Kentucky. So we said, okay. But when we got in the game, we turned it out. But I saw this dude eat Jack Givens up. He was player of the year that year.
Kentucky, right?
Yeah, from Kentucky. And Larry Bird was just slicing and dicing him. And I said, oh, I called home. I said, it's true about this boy. I was calling everybody, this dude can play.
Yeah.
And so that was my first time seeing him. And then to be out on the court with him in college for that national championship game. And then, of course, what happened in the NBA. But I would say that we got a chance to change the league.
Yeah.
You know what? What a blessing it was. He ended up in Boston. And then I ended up out here. My personality was L.A., Hollywood. Right. His personality was Boston.
Right.
And it worked for the whole league, you know? So everything was good.
First time All-Star, what did that mean to you?
Unbelievable, bro.
I know that felt great.
Bro, it was unbelievable, bro. Even though, like, I feel like, because I think we was in, like, the ninth place, I believe. So I feel like I should have got voted in. Like, when it happened and I didn't get, like, voted in, like, I was at the house, like, my family hot. You already know how them households get, like, they hot. Because they announcing it, you know? Mm-hmm. So my family, they all came out to San Antonio. And I just got back home. And I just remember, like, they ain't call my name. As the reserves. They ain't call my name, bro. I was hot. My family was hot. Like, I see my brothers crying. Like, they hot, like, you know? Like, they trying to figure it out. I'm like, bro, it ain't nothing. You know, we gonna get there, like, because God got us. You feel me? But he got me. Like, I work hard, great person. So it's like, it's bound to happen, bro, sooner or later. Things a couple of days go by. Obviously, you had guys hurt. I go to the gym, and you know how Pop is. Pop's smart. He already know I'm in. They got me in. Adam Silver put me in. But it's, I have no clue. I'm just going to practice. Go to practice. After, I leave. Pop's like, have a great day, da, 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 da. I head home. The family's still there. Then he just randomly called me like, can you come back to the facility? I'm like, for what? Like, I'm going to see you tomorrow. Like, what you need me for the facility for? He's like, man, just come to the facility. I get to the facility. I go solo. As soon as I walk in the door, like, congratulations, All-Star. Bro, it's like, I'm like, wait a minute, what? Then obviously it started blowing up, the phone, the text message, the calls, all that. I started breaking down crying, bro.
I don't blame you, dog. You feel me? I was dying to hear those words.
Bro, I started breaking down crying, bro. Like, I'm like, this shit crazy, bro. Like, nah, this ain't true, bro.
To be an all-star act?
This shit ain't true, bro. You know what I mean? So I go home. Obviously, I hug all them guys. I hug all of them, the staff, everybody, coaches, everybody, front office. And as soon as I get home, bro, whole family crying, bro. The whole family.
They already knew or you told them?
Oh, they already knew. It started getting out.
Oh, okay.
They just knew I was leaving to go to the gym real quick.
Right.
So I walk in the door. I walk in my house. Everybody crying, bro. Like, but it's like tears of joy. Like, that motherfucker used to be in the rain at 5 years old by himself. I was in the snow by myself. No backboard, just the rim. I was in the house. Getting the laundry, you know what I'm saying? All that.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the hangers, putting them on the door.
Balling up socks.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Balling all that. And they mm-hmm. that's what you've seen, like, in from all my family. And I think what really made it hit different is we lost my sister not too long from that. My sister was killed, like, months before that. And our family was kind of in a, you know, like, a head down, like, sad, mad, like, just a revenge mode. You feel what I'm saying? Like, cause she was killed, you know what I mean? By her boyfriend. So it's like brought some positive to the family again. It like reborn us, you know what I mean? And it was unbelievable, bro. Like, even still, like, I still feel like I ain't did none of it.
Mm.
I still want to get better. I still want my coaches, people to criticize me to get better, to be better. Like, so I can make it again,
right.
Make it again, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it's a blessing, bro. When you're able to do that, like, obviously, basketball, sports, team, you know what I mean? Like, obviously, we play basketball, so it's mm-hmm. a team game. You can't win without the team.
Mm-hmm.
But you got your individual things, you feel me? It's
and
cool.
You can say you was a top 24 player in the league that year.
You get what I'm saying?
That's unbelievable,
That's
dog.
Unbelievable, bro. You
That's
feel me?
That's unbelievable, dog.
That's unbelievable. So it's like, that'll never go over my head, you know, I'm forever gonna be thankful for that, bro.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to exactly. guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of it.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
On a serious note, me and you were on Big Three time. We were really talking about getting in shape and doing a lot of things together and also playing the game. But while we were playing, you went through some real stuff. You suffered a heart attack. And, you know, it really fucked me up because, you know, you're my real friend. And you was going through a lot at the time. And then we didn't know, you know, you really wasn't telling us. You know what I'm saying? We had to find out, you know, when you had really was in the hospital and everything that went down. But talk about going through that, bro, and you know, staying strong through all that and, you know, trying to figure out what was next. Because, I mean, that's really what you was going through that whole time. We was trying to figure out what was next for all of us.
Yeah, man. Hold on 1 second, bro. It's tough times, bro.
I know.
It was tough. Hold on 1 second.
Take your time.
Yeah, man. I can't believe y'all would ever see me out here crying, huh?
Shit, we was crying together.
Yeah. Give 1 second, bro.
Gotta take your time, bro.
I mean, that's the mode we was in the whole time. That's all we could do.
All right, I'm ready, my fall. But yeah, man, it was a tough time, man, for, you know, myself, my family. You know, when you go through something like that, you know, we can feel invincible at times. You feel like, you realize you're not invincible.
Right.
And in that moment, think about your children, your parents, your brothers and sisters, your family, everybody. I just remember when I was kind of going through it, and I fell out of my house. My son found me. He was able to get me to the hospital. See his face crying, brokenhearted. Killed me even more than the pain I was going through. This is my baby. This is my son. He's 22 years old, but I saw him as a baby. Didn't you notice? It was tough. You know, it changed my life forever. Because, you know, I love different now. I'm not afraid to tell somebody I love them now. I'm not afraid to be me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was more reserved and laid back. More, I'm pouring to people now. You know, I'm pouring to them in different ways. You know, me and Stack joke and play, but that's the way we pour into each other.
Yeah, it's love.
You know, and, you know, I just do that more now than anything. You know, because life's too short. I know it now. I was 40 years old. You know, it was 5 days from my birthday. And just kind of, as you go through stuff like that, man, just be thankful for every day. You know, with this HBCU stuff came around, it was God just working in my life. And this stuff has been stacking them for me ever since. And, you know, I appreciate guys like yourself, Kmart, and all my brothers who always keep me encouraged and always check in on me and all that shit. And I never even played with these dudes, you know what I'm saying? But they just know we real ones, and they we just clicked up, and I just appreciate, you know, everything. But, you know, when you go through that, you just, you know who loves you for real, too. Mm. You know, you learn a lot about people, you know, and there's some people that are sending you a vanilla text and like, you okay, but there's some people that really make sure you okay, right. You know, and, you know, I just really appreciate my children around that time, just, you know, being there. I'm just, you know, just every day I try to be a good dad. I try to be a present dad most best I possibly can, and I try to be an even better son to my father and my, you know, because, you know, my parents are getting older and I, you know, so I try to spend more time with them and understand what's most important. And,
you know, fuck this hoop shit, fuck the money and all that bullshit. Family is, and the memories is the only thing that's important to me now. And, you know, that's what I try to do. And I know this basketball keeps me away from my family and you know, back in Indiana or whatever, but I know God got me on a mission to touch more than just my family. And that's just what I'm doing. So, and I'm thankful for every day. And, you know, I just, like I said, I don't take it for granted.
You ever have any experience with Michael Jackson?
Yeah, man. Fucking Michael Jackson, bro. I booked a studio. We booked a studio, Westlake, for my first single tonight. We moved from our studio to his studio, and he wanted to get in there one time. So they was like, you know, they came through, warned everybody that, you know, Michael's going to come through. And he didn't want nobody to see him coming through or looking right. So we all out there in the, you know, by the pink, the pimp, the pool table, kitchen area, everybody chilling. We taking a break from the studio, and these guys come in and they like, he was like, hey y'all, we about to bring somebody through here. You know, they didn't ask us to leave. They asked us to just turn around and face the wall while, you know, they bring the artist through, right? So it's like, are y'all serious? Like, this is not a joke. They was like, man, if y'all, come on quick, man. If you could just, I know who you are quick. I like your music. If you could just turn around and face the wall.
Just turn the fuck around.
You know, it'd all be good. All right, man. So we turn around and shit. This shit seemed weird. This shit, like some police shit. Like, you know, being hemmed up on the wall. So the door opens, poof. Then you just hear some penny loafers just, right? Running through the little thing. We turn around, you can see him, like his little hair and shit. I'm gonna go in the door, close it. It's like, oh, y'all cool. Y'all can turn around. Y'all, everything's cool. It's like, damn, Mike didn't want nobody to look at him.
That's
the
crazy.
Fuck is this? Right? So that was one experience. And then there was another one where he booked our studio, hence Skip Sailors. And he was more cool then. It was like I had one of my little artists I was trying to sign. And, you know, he didn't really say nothing to us. He just walked past. And, you know what I mean? Whatever. He wasn't as timid as he was back in 91, 92. He was just more cool. But he didn't, I don't know if he, I don't think he didn't want to fuck with me. He thought I was blood. Michael's a Crip.
Mike was Crip.
Yeah, Michael's on his Crippin'.
Jack, you should tell him the one about when you almost got ran out of this league.
Where we at? In Indy?
And yeah. Remember that call you made to me? And I called the commissioner up.
Man, I forgot about that.
Jack, you was out.
I was done.
You was done.
I was done so many times, but y'all remember that.
And you said...
I called you.
You called me.
I got to know from Al.
Yeah.
That's how I got in touch with you.
And I called David Stern. I said, you can't do that to him.
I was done.
You was out.
I remember that,
You Z. was gone. Mm. That's how you got back in the league.
I was done. I remember that like yesterday.
Yeah, you should tell that story.
I actually forgot about that, but I remember it vividly now.
Yeah.
I remember because I was trying to call everybody that I figured would help me at that time.
Yeah.
And Al saved me.
No, Isaiah saved me.
I mean, Al saved me. You know what I mean? Isaiah saved me, but Al connected me to you.
Yeah. And you got back out on the court. How many weeks after that?
3.
Thank you.
3 weeks.
I was in the midst of you were already suspended.
He was gone.
I was done. Mm. I was at home already.
He wasn't suspended.
Yeah.
He was done. The wheels were greased and he was out.
Mm.
Huh? I don't, I think I called,
Ghostbusters?
Nah, I ain't called Ghostbusters. Spirit
got you. The Earth, Wind, and Fire got you.
I remember Donnie Walsh, Zeke, and, Mike Brown. That's the only people that went to war for me. That I vividly remember.
But the only one that got to David Stern's ear.
Yeah.
I went to that man's office.
Mm.
Can't do that to him.
Mm. That's dope.
I see him.
That's not going to happen.
I see him in it.
Damn.
Our show was gone too. I'm talking about, I was gone.
No, I seen it.
Randy Moss. You play high school ball with Randy Moss. I'm pretty sure y'all and both of y'all talking like, I don't understand either one of y'all sometimes. But how was it like playing with one of the best receivers to ever play in the NFL on a basketball court?
I'm going to take it a step further and it's not just the best receiver. To me,
he's the best.
I played with a lot of good athletes. Bruh's the best athlete I've ever been around. Mm. I mean, when I talk about athletes, I'm thinking like Can he hoop? Can he throw a baseball? Can he sprint faster than you? Can he jump higher than you? Can he throw a fishing rod further than you? All that, bro.
Skip a rock.
He do everything.
He going to beat all y'all. He going to beat all y'all.
Yeah. Well, Randy Moss is definitely one of the best. But how was it playing basketball with him?
It was good. You know, he was player of the year in basketball our years. And I was player of the year in football one year. He was player of the year in basketball. But
that's crazy. What position did you play in football?
Quarterback.
Okay, you were still throwing that thing.
But I wasn't trying to get hit or nothing like that.
Yeah, you didn't like
straight
that.
Straight out of bounds.
Yeah.
You ain't
putting your head down on nobody?
Too fragile, bro.
Keep them pads clean.
Yeah. And then our coach had Randy Moss. We had a punt return called Jesse James. Blitz 10 guys, got one guy back. I'm the guy back, right? Every time, because you know I have good hands, I'm going to catch it, run straight to the coach to get the play for the next time. One time I tried to cut the bitch up the sideline, clipped me, I landed on the ball, knocked the air out of me. I'm laying there, coach was like that. I'm like, look, bro, you got Randy Moss on your team. You got me returning these motherfuckers.
How cold was he? I mean,
make it make sense.
Right. I mean, we get a chance to see highlights of you guys in high school, and you just throwing it up there. But I don't really see much of him from a football standpoint in high school. What was he like as a receiver? I couldn't imagine what kind of cheat code that was.
He was a receiver. He played. He never came off the field. He kicked off. he was play free safety. Then he would receive, and then he would kick the extra points. And then if we had to punt. But he was punting the bitch, too. Like, I swear he'd be an all-star, all-NFL punter if he wanted to be.
Really?
I ain't lying. Today, bro.
Yeah.
Still. Today.
You guys still stay in contact?
A little bit. And he likes to fish, bro. I don't get down with the fish, bro.
Okay. You don't play with him?
No.
That's not you.
I ain't touching no fish or no worms or nothing like that, bro.
We always talk about this, you know, about who would have won in 94, 95 if MJ would have left. But, you know, people don't realize how good Dream was and how competitive Vernon Maxwell was.
Mm-hmm. Why not? I mean, Kenny said y'all would have handled him.
Yeah.
And, you know, what was your thoughts? Obviously, you know, you have an understanding and you won a lot.
Yeah.
Those are some tough Bulls teams, but y'all was tough too. So.
Yeah, we were tough. But this is why I know we would have won it, because I played for Phil. And I go back to this 2006 season. No, I'm sorry, 2004 season when we were playing San Antonio, and I had to guard Tim. Tim gave me 36 a night. I'm begging for some, man, y'all gave me a fucking double team. Because Tim started facing me up and doing stuff that I had never seen before. I said, I need a double team. And Phil was like, "We know, and one man won't beat us. I mean, damn, he won't one man beat us. He's killing me right now."
Yeah.
You know, and so he double teamed. I said, and with that same mentality, I knew it wouldn't have changed with Dream. And you think about this. I'm looking back at everybody that they had on that Bulls team. I know I'm a better defender than all them dudes. Mm-hmm. And I know Dream is better than Tim. So they wouldn't have been able to stop Dream. They said, okay. And I feel like when the young Rob would have been competitive enough to stop Scotty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figured that's why we would have won it. And then you got, you know, everybody said, what about the Black Jesus, meaning MJ? Look at the way Vernon played. I'm telling you.
Vernon didn't back down from nobody.
I'm telling you. Watch Vernon play. Vernon would give you 30 to 40. One of the craziest athletes you would ever see play this game. But because of his craziness being Mad Max, people don't talk about it or
how
even
good
view
he really
what he
was.
Did or how good he was.
Facts.
We had a good team, man.
Yeah. Facts. You got any crazy? I'm a huge fan of Matt. We had a story.
That's the homie.
I'll tell you our story. So we were in Houston one time with the Warriors with Nelly.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow he found out we were going to have shoot around there. So we got there. He had like a full hour workout. Like, Nelly, look at me. You know, you need a 10-day. Like, everyone was both full sweat. I promise you.
No.
We had first walked in there. Like, somehow he found out where we were practicing at. So he had got in an hour before, had a full workout, talking about a 10-day. Nelly, what's up? 10-day. Like, this is what, 07? Yeah, that was the We Believe season,
that was
right?
We Believe season.
Unbelievable. And I had to kind of look around like, is he serious? And people were like, no, he's serious. He's dead-ass
dead
serious.
Serious.
Like, he was...
And he looked good, though.
Looked great.
He looked great.
Looked great.
Hey.
He looked great.
You talk about freaking bodies. His body is just... He was just ripped for no reason. Didn't really work out, but just was ripped. And he could just stay up all night, drink, smoke all night. That mug gonna come out and come go for 40.
Yeah.
His favorite thing was if you come to L.A. and play. He loved playing in L.A. That mug would hit a jumper and find out where the Chili's. You know, this is when the Chili's would sit on the sideline. That mug would fall and push himself back into the Chili's, look at him,
prettiest white tee, smile at him. I'm fucking him up tonight, baby. And get back out there. It's like, he was, man. Vernon was just, man, he was funny, man.
He was, fucking him up tonight.
I'm telling you, man, that dude was a crazy competitor, great athlete. And he was just, man, you had to be there. Another time, I mean, we had this incident. We were playing, you know, how sometimes you have shoot around. Guys leave. We still shooting around. All of a sudden, our strength and conditioning coach comes running out like, yo, man, I need some fucking help. Vernon going fucking crazy. So we run in there, and Vernon and Carl Herrera both have weights in their hand. Them motherfuckers just boom, boom, hitting each other with the weights. And they like, help. He's like, I'll be damned. I'm not about to get hit with a fucking weight. And so them motherfuckers fought till they got tired. And then the next day, they hugged it out. You know, and if you ever see Carl,
Carl's a big dude.
Yeah, Carl's shoulder came out of place. Vernon was the first person, like, I got this, my boy. He would help him to the back. And then 3 weeks later, the motherfuckers fighting again. And it was just the craziest relationship. But those two loved each other. And that was just the competitive nature of Vernon, boy. It's a lot of stories. Even though the time when I had to go save him in the stands.
I remember that.
First
he
time.
He walked straight up.
It was.
What happened? Break this. So for those who didn't see it.
So we're playing Portland. Portland's kicking our ass, right? You know, I'm pissed because you know when you have a good game and you lose and you feel even worse? So I'm sitting at the end of the bench and all I hear is, yo, Vernon, who's that bitch on your arm? Vernon says, what? And I'm at the end of the bench because I had just got subbed out. So Vernon's jets by me. And I look this way. I'm like, oh, shit, he going in the stands. So I'm going up in the stands. It was two dudes. One dude jumps up. Vernon pushes him down. And he gets ready to swing on a dude. The other dude jumps up. And I'm like, I'm getting ready to grab him. He looks at me and sits back down like, yeah, motherfucker. I'm like this. I'm like, yeah, I'm swole, right? And I look behind me. It's Otis Thorpe and I strength and condition.
Oh, yeah. He sat down real quick.
Like, and then the guy, he never hit the guy. He just pushed the guy down and said, what the fuck you say? Say it again. And the guy was like, oh. You know how everybody is. They talk trash until they, you know.
Until Jack had to take it to the next level?
Yeah.
Where were you when I went in this thing? I needed you then. Come grab me.
Yeah. Hey, any.
$3 million later.
Did Dream Smack. Was that true or was that rumor?
That's the truth, but I got there the season after.
Okay,
that.
So you weren't there for that. Okay,
But Vernon, I'll tell you the story how, you know, Dream, you know, people don't. You remember.
Dream Smack too.
Vernon.
Oh.
So, you remember Randy? What's Randy? I can't think of Randy's name. He used to play for the Clippers.
Randy Livingston?
No. Another Randy. I can't think of his name. But we were playing the Clippers, and I think it was Randy, but, you know, everybody was scared of Ken. Was it Ken Norman?
Norman.
Everybody was scared of Ken Norman, right? You know, he was like that enforcer nobody would fuck with. So, we walking off the court, and Randy's talking shit to Dream. And then he pushes Dream. Dream hit him with a two-piece, pop, real quick. And then he goes, runs to get Ken. Ken's like, who hit you? Dream. Oh, fuck that. Because they know nobody would fuck with Dream. Because people would realize Dream had those hands. If you go back before Dream really deep dive into his religion, that mug fought every time he could. Mm-hmm. It was a $25 to $50 fine. Mm. He didn't give a shit. He would knock you out in a second. So I think the old Dream kind of came out because when you push someone, you kind of lose it sometimes. Yeah. He ran it with that two-piece real quick. Boop. He's like, I'm going to get my big brother. And big brother saw who it was.
No problems. And it's crazy you say that because he the best person in the world. Like, he the best dude in the world, Dream.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
best
he
best person
is.
In the world. How did the lighter flick come about?
Shit, man, you know how I smoke.
Yeah.
No, it's literally on God. I would not lie to you, bro. It's not a trademark. It's not a... Because if it was, we'd have it synced up already, and I wouldn't even have to do it. You know what I mean? So if you are listening to it, you can listen to it. Every single one is a different. And the answer is simple and plain. If you're a Wayne fan, you already got to know that I'm about to smoke during the verse.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lighting up for the verse.
Right.
And that's
cheers.
The only reason. Yeah, no,
cheers, let's go.
No other, yeah, it's not a trademark.
That
not
shit became
whole,
classic.
Yeah, it's not a, hold on, let me make sure I get my... Nah.
Hey, it's to the point where, like, when motherfuckers hear it for the song, they be like, oh, shit, it's finna go down.
Yeah.
It's finna go down.
I feel like that, too, when I hear that. I done heard a few flicks on some other songs, and you're not delivering like I deliver, so stop doing that shit.
Yeah, man.
Any Donald Sterling stories, white party stories, anything? What you got for us?
I wasn't invited to the white party, so
might have been
you know,
too young.
Yeah, you know. So, but no, it was definitely different. It was something different going on there. I just
I remember being in the locker room and just, you know, him always bringing his friends back there.
Weird, right?
You know, and one time it's just, you know, just, man, being, you know, it's like Muggs in the locker room, people going back and forth to the shower. And, you know, like he, it was just lingering around back there. And, you know, it's
cock like, watching.
Yeah, it was just like, man, weird. It was just weird. It was weird. It was weird.
Super weird.
You know, that's
bro.
All I'm going to say. It was weird to me. Weird yeah. energy. So I just, I didn't know how to take that at right. you know, 19, 20 years
right.
old.
Like, what the fuck? You got all the owners in here watching dicks? Crazy. Is this how all the teens do it?
Man.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
2007,
mm-hmm.
You land a major role in Transformers. Mm-hmm. What was that like?
Crazy.
Still had the one of the Transformers in his crib.
Not at the time. Yeah. I got it all after.
Yeah.
But yeah, see my Transformer tattoo right there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I grew up watching Transformers, man.
So you grew up watching the high...
Crazy. Like, they don't got to tell me nothing about Autobots versus Decepticons. It was Lucky Charms. And
you was telling
and,
them shit.
The Underoos.
That's not how that went.
This shit was crazy. Like, nigga, you want me to talk to Optimus? that was like crazy, bro. Like, like I said, man.
And working with Michael Bay, of course.
Oh, man. Oh. So here's a Michael Bay story. Let me think about this for a second. If I ever told this story publicly.
No better time than now.
Got to tell a quick Michael Bay story. So first thing, when we were doing Too Fast, Too Furious. The whole Too Fast, Too Furious was filmed in Miami. And while we was doing Too Fast, Too Furious, they were shooting Bad Boys 2. So Will Smith and Martin and I, been knowing Martin because I did a guest appearance on Martin when he had his TV sitcom.
One of the greatest shows ever.
Of all time.
Yeah.
I stopped watching TV after that, Married with Children and Oz. I was dumb with TV. I know them, love them both. They, every time they would get around me over the years, they would always, like, for whatever reason, just go above and beyond, just trying to put me up on game and protect me from myself. So I hit Will. I got invited to the set of Bad Boys. And even though our budget was nice, that shit was crazy, what they was doing, right? So fast forward, the Maloof brothers opening their first hotel in Vegas.
That shit used to jump.
Which one?
Palms. Yeah. That shit used to jump.
So for the grand opening, they put like 75-some celebs on these private planes from L.A. just to be there for the grand opening. So literally, I get on the plane, and I'm on this private joint, just like, oh, shit, private plane. It's crazy. And then right as the door was about to close, Michael Bay come walking on. And I'm sitting there like, what the fuck is going on? I know exactly who the fuck this guy is sitting there. I'm talking about, Matt, I'm talking about right here, okay, on the plane. So I'm sitting there, shook his hand, cool vibe. He remembered me from coming to the set with Will and Martin. And then I asked him a question. I was like, let me ask you something, man. Are you aware of how many people in Hollywood say you're like arrogant, you this, you that, and this? And I guess the question was like the last thing he expected me to ask him. But you can tell, just on some real shit, he was like, yo, I appreciate you asking me a real-ass question instead of, like, sitting there telling me how much you love the movies I've done. Mm-hmm. I was like, so our whole hour flight was about just chopping it up about some real shit, like what people think of you versus what you think of yourself versus what you said and what you did, what you responsible for, blah, blah, blah. That was the gist of it. And it was love. It was all love. So then I get to the lobby. And I've never hung out with dude. I was on the set. He was in go mode, you know, genius director, big action guy. Everything is 1,000 miles an hour in his head, you know. And so seeing him when he's out of game mode, he's a whole nother person. Very cool, sociable. So I get to the front desk to check in. And as I'm walking through the lobby, because it's the grand opening, all these women was in the lobby in Vegas. And without me noticing, by the time I got to the front desk, I must have turned around. It was like 30 of them gawking and looking. And Michael Bay walked up to me. He's like, hey, man, wow. You know, like he really got excited about all this energy that was around me. And my brain was like, my brain was like, huh, my nigga. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
lady, you want to be my brother?
Like, if this is what... If this Close is what you own,
yeah, come on now.
Hey, I do. This is what I do. You know what I mean? Like, this is easy. You know what I mean?
Shit.
I'm like, I'm the R&B nigga turn actor. Nigga. I got juices following me this all day. So, I'm seeing the excitement that he's feeling about the energy around me. Now, I ain't finna sit here and say I arranged anything because I ain't that nigga, but. It was really like, and I was like, and then literally at the front desk was not the plan, but I felt his energy. I said, yo, man, I got some girls coming up, man. Drinks is real low key, man. You ain't doing nothing, pull up, right? Right? He's like, and then he was like, yeah, what's your room number? You know, so I got the key. I was like, you know, blah, 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 405, whatever it was. And then I was like, man, this nigga ain't coming. You know, he ain't no fucking way he gonna come, you know.
Shit.
Man, listen. I literally, It's the funniest shit. If Michael see this clip, he gonna be like, "You, brother, I've never told nobody."
Hey, he got there before you.
Exclusive. So I'm literally in the room, right? I swear to God, it was at least 30 chicks in there. I didn't tell them they needed to do anything. I just said, "Look, man, if this man knock at my door, when he come upstairs, y'all got one job and one job only.
Get me on.
To just make him feel
yeah.
like the most incredible motherfucker you've ever met." Yeah. And I said, "Look, man, I want y'all to know, there is nobody in the history of cinema who knows how to film and capture women the way Michael Bay do on some Victoria's Secret. Been shooting them campaign for 30 years, blah, blah, blah." So they all up in there like, and I'm like, "Yo, he actually specialized in putting random women on. He don't necessarily need to be with a supermodel. He don't go for the established. He'll go and find some brand new bad chick and make them look." Nigga, they was up in that motherfucker like, "Damn," they're just like, "Well, thank you for the opportunity." I'm like, I'm like, "Oh, nigga, shit. Hey, he gonna be happy to hang out with me. We gonna be way happy to see y'all when he get up here."
Yeah, yeah.
So, hey, man, y'all ain't gotta do shit. Literally, this ain't no prostitution. Like, I don't play them games.
Yeah,
not do shit. Which nothing did go down, man. Drinks. Girls, put some music on, vibe, had a nice little suite. It wasn't nothing crazy. And like an hour go by, I'm walking, I'm pacing in my room. And went, boop, 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 boop. And I swear, man, I almost want to get up and reenact this shit, but the camera's on me. But like if the peephole was here, nigga, I was like, "Oh, shit." See, like it was like a movie. I was like, "Oh, shit." Like, "Yo, nigga, if this motherfucker is on the side of this door, when I look through this peephole, it's over. It's over." So I went, looked through the peephole. "Fuck. Yo, it's him." "Y'all good, right? Y'all need
to..." "Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Position. Action. Nigga, y'all niggas up.
Action."
Bruh, opened the door. Came in. You know, he always got his little shirt just about right here, you know. You know, he's Mr. Miami at 24. Hey, man, you know, "If you want something to drink?" No, they went full on flirting. Like, "Don't worry about me. Just make sure he feels amazing when he gets here." Man, they hit that thing so far out the park. Next thing you know, got each other's number. He invited me to a Christmas party. That's up the street, by the way, here in Santa Monica. And hung out with him. He's like, "Hey, man, I got this movie I'm about to do. I'm thinking about doing it. You know, Steven Spielberg hit me up." And he's mentioning Spielberg like this norm. I'm like, Spielberg, you know, he wanted to direct it. And he was like, "Maybe you should do it." He's like, "What do you think, man?" I said, "Transformers? Like, man, that's childhood for me." And he's like, yeah, "You think I should do it?" Like, "Fuck yeah, man, it'll be crazy." He's talking to me like as if me saying he should do it is going to actually make him do it. I'm like, "Well, shit, you going to ask me?" Yeah. So then.
"You know what else you should do? You should put me in it too."
Yeah. That's just, then he said, this was funny. He said, he's like, "Yeah, would you do a movie like that?" I'm like, "Yeah." I'm so fucking fired up, but I'm trying to play it cool. Like, "Yeah, man, I do some shit like that." It's crazy. I grew up on that, man. It'd be crazy. You would kill that shit if you did it. And then he said, yeah. He said, "Are you funny?" I said, yeah, I'm funny. I can't really tell you I'm funny, but I, you know, yeah, I've been known to keep niggas' attention, to tell a good joke or two, you know what I mean? So he invited me back to his office. I walked in his office. The whole room was full of images because it's all computer generated. It's all of these images of the cars and the Bumblebee before and after, the Optimus Prime truck and all of these images. And he's like, "Come in, man." And I'm looking, I'm like, "What the?" You know, I'm looking at my childhood. So he wanted to cast me in the first Transformers to play Bernie Mac, the car salesman who sold Shia LaBeouf's character, mm-hmm. the first Bumblebee, mm-hmm. if anybody's seen it, mm-hmm. that was supposed to be me, Bernie Mac. Mm-hmm. And after hanging out with him several times, he literally, sweat, he literally created the role Nest and had me with Josh Duhamel, the soldiers, and we end up doing three Transformers. I would have been grateful for the Bernie Mac role, but for him to like, yo, I really like you. You a good guy. He was like, he literally out the sky. We had nothing to do with the storyline. He created the Transformers soldiers that work and rock with Shia LaBeouf's character. And all of that shit happened from an airplane ride. Mm. And all these women at the fucking hotel. What's the name of the hotel?
The Palm.
The Palm.
They did their job.
They put me ladies, on the plane. Ladies, if you happen to see it,
shout out, ladies. Good work.
Favorite meme of yourself?
Probably the one with Bron.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did you say for those who didn't see it?
So we had a timeout. Yeah. We had a timeout with like a minute 45 left. We're up like 18. And, you know, at that point, game's over. Didn't know why we were still in the game. And coach was drawing something up. And you know how timeouts are. Nobody was really listening. And I asked a lot of questions that year. So I asked coach as I was walking on the court, I was like, I'm not doing anything. Like I'm on the left wing, basically chilling. He was like, yeah, AD, Bron, and Russ were supposed to run some 3-man action. And I walk on the court and I ask Bron the same thing. I'm like, yo, I'm just chilling, right? He was like, nah, you're going here, and like
fucking
just kept going. No, I don't know if he was fucking with me or if he was being serious, to be honest, but I actually make that face a lot when I'm kind of, you know, confused.
It's like you just have some smelling salts.
But at the same time, like, I would like to think I'm not confused a lot. So I kind of know what's going on. So I was like, I don't know if that's true, but.
He was fucking with you.
That game is crazy, though. That is crazy. That is crazy.
Yeah, I ain't see that one for like 2 days, though. My brother actually sent it to me. That was after, I think, one or two of Denver series.
Have you ever seen Wedding Crashers?
Yeah.
No, the brother.
No, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
The artist.
The artist.
The one that was playing that.
I painted a picture for you.
That's actually funny as shit.
Oh, shit.
That was funny. He had that motherfucker hog tied to
his hair.
But he had him tied to the bed and everything, remember? 2001, 15-1 in the playoffs. The infamous step over with Allen Iverson. He spoke to that on our show. And I think surprised a lot of people with his answer. Let's take a look at that.
You guys run into the Lakers in the 2001 finals, go into LA, get game one, when you hit the jumper on T-Lew and stepped over him. A meme that still gets played daily. Looking back now almost 20 years ago, what do you think about that?
I don't like it.
Really?
He was giving me so many problems, man.
He was the dog. He was the beast harassing on that ball. Me,
straight dog. Mm-hmm. Like, when I stepped over him, it was like, I ain't know I did it. And then they try to get me to mimic the shit years later. Like, I don't even know how to do it. You don't know when you're going to do something. You don't know the emotions in the game or what go on throughout the game. It can be a coach that piss you off and you react a certain way, to basically tell him, yeah, look what I did. That moment, it was dope when you look back on it.
Right.
But I just don't like it.
Obviously, a moment. We live in a social media moment now. That wasn't back then, but it's still something that kind of surfaces around. Speak to that moment and then also your relationship with him.
At the moment, you know, like I said, people make a big deal out of it. Like, he crossed me over and I fell down and then he stepped over me. Like, he hit a contested shot and I stepped back and I fell. He stepped over top of me. And, you know, for me, it wasn't even a big deal. Still to this day, it's not a big deal. And you get kids like, oh, that's the guy Iverson. Man, you weren't even born. Like, right. You weren't even born.
I'm on that same mixtape where they show that highlight. They show me about two more highlights after that falling. So I'm with you.
But it wasn't even a big deal, like, to me. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? People make a big deal out of it. Like, it's a part of history. And that's okay. Like, mm-hmm. I love AI. Even before the series, like, it's something I idolized. He's 2 years older than me. But, like, man, the cornrows, from the hood, like, mm-hmm. my height. All the things the girls,
he was just
like
lighter skin.
But like he changed our game. Mm-hmm. Like,
and the culture.
The culture of our game. Mm-hmm. Like the chain. You know, Jordan, they wore suits, white tees, chains, braids. Like, he changed the game for us. And from where we come from, that's huge for us.
Yes.
Because a lot of times, you know, as young black men,
we got to compromise.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable wearing a suit. And if I get a suit, it might be a $200 suit. Eddie Jones laughing at me, like, what you got on? You know, he always teasing people. So, like, he changed the culture for us and made it okay to be an NBA player, but also be who you are.
Yeah.
And so I idolized this dude. I told him from day one. And so when I played him every day in practice before we played in the finals, like, just mimicking who he was and feel like, play fast, do this. I knew every move he did. Like, I was so happy. What? Yeah.
Get
like,
loose.
2 weeks of just being, oh, man,
Took
what?
You back to college. Yeah, yeah,
every move. And so when I played against him in the game, I knew everything he was going to do. Like, yeah. I swear to God, Stack, every move, every counter. And so, you know, to me, like I said, I idolize a dude. And so if it's a moment in history, and he deserves it. Like, he deserves it. Like, I don't make me no
You know
difference.
Why he say he don't like it?
Why's that?
Because how he is, the love he have for you. Like, he yeah. don't like how people try to make it as to seem like he belittling you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because the love he got for you, that's why he don't like it.
Well, and I love it. I mean, but he, I mean, you AI, I'm T. Lou. And yeah. I don't have no problem with that. Like, I'm a realist.
Not it, but his eyes, yeah. you both of y'all here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a dog. Like, yeah, I'm a, you light skin. I'm a dog. Like, I'm a guard every night. I'm not going to back down. If we got to scrap, I'm going to scrap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
God so damn right.
It is what it is. But at the end of the day, like, he's MVP, and I'm just T. Lou. I'm just happy to be able to have a chance to compete against him at a high level. So I'm giving everything I got. But like I said, that's my guy. Like, if he needed it, whatever, that's my guy
they,
to the end.
They don't know Chuck is one of the most sensitive NBA players ever. He cry all day. He going to tell you he love you 20 times.
20 times.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? People don't know that about you.
Just a random phone call out the blue.
I love him.
Yeah.
That's
I
it.
Love you.
Yeah. And I love him too.
What's
you know
that,
what
bro?
Saying?
That's
yeah.
it. What's happening?
You and if yeah, I, if I didn't get a chance to compete against him in 2001, I don't know where I would be.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know. If you don't get mm-hmm. that opportunity, yeah, like I was like on the bench kind of, you know what I'm saying? I didn't play till 6 minutes ago in the third quarter. I didn't play the whole first half. You know what I'm saying? So, like, having an opportunity to compete against him, like, it changed my career. It changed my life.
Yeah,
you know
opened more doors,
so,
too.
Yeah.
One of my biggest regrets, and Steph, I'm sure you would have been the light-skinned man either way. You was going to be the light-skinned man. You know what I'm saying? That was destined for you. But I feel like when you came to the Garden and I let Raymond Felton's pride get in the way, and he had 50, mm-hmm. I feel like that's when you decided you was just gonna rape the league,
bro. I you know what? I ain't mad at you.
That was the moment,
bro.
I think so,
bro.
I believe so. Like, can we go back and track?
But let me tell you why I'm not. I feel you because Raymond Felton was on my team. Jameer Nelson cooked had 20 points in the first quarter, the first three games of the first round of the playoffs on him. So I get it. I get it.
When I tell you,
that's my dog, but I get it.
Raymond, yeah, that's my dog too. That's why I say Raymond said, "Shump, no." Like, he was like, "Bro, like, stop, like, stop." I'm like, "G, come on, G, like, come on." Cause I had switched on to him. I immediately poked the ball away. Let's get to this dude, though. Like, stop letting dude do this before he really be doing this to us. Like,
stop letting him do this before he really be doing it.
Real talk. Cause I seen it coming.
Felt it coming.
I'm like, the confidence is changing. G, he going back to Davidson on us, bro. Nah. His jersey ain't red, bro. Don't let him do that. You feel me? I'm like, he doing the shit that we was like, you can't do that in the league. He started doing it. I'm not.
In the
sonny.
Garden.
Yeah, you going too fast shooting that jumper now. That's too much. You ain't even holding it up no more. He was, yeah, falling and shit. Bro. Now he talking to the crowd. He pointing at fans. I'm like, Steph don't even do that. I think it was us. My bad.
Too.
Hey, New York, my bad if I was a part of that because, shorty, I did not. I could have ran up to Raymond like, hey, G, you're guarding
whoever
the fuck else. But I'm now guarding Steph 94 feet. But I had just got back from injury, so they was like, Shump, you overgassing yourself. He gonna do you.
Yeah.
That's how they was saying it. You on a minute restriction.
Yeah.
He's gonna do you.
Yeah.
Let Raymond handle
I'm
this.
I'm willing to re-blow this wheel just to shut this motherfucker down.
I really felt like in my heart, like we are birthing an animal, bro.
Yeah.
I really think of that moment. I'm like, bro, I think we ignited that confidence that came. Cause after that game, bro, he got very disrespectful.
Yeah, he took off.
He got disrespectful. He started trying shit.
That
2012, 13, yep, that's it. I had just got back, bro. I had to wear a sleeve on my knee. I had a black sleeve on my knee, bro.
Ever since.
I'm like, shorty ass is really dragging us. And I'm like, shorty, y'all acting like this regular. I was coming to, I'll never forget being in the huddle. Ron Artest, my bad, better. What is he right now? My bad, my
whatever
dog.
Whatever you want to call
yeah,
him.
Yeah, my dog, my bad. But yeah, I like calling my nigga Ron. I just like, your Ron, mama Ron. Named you Ron, I'm going to call you Ron. Mm-hmm.
All right. Whatever Ron, we don't call him Meta.
Well, Meta start rubbing my shoulders like, calm down.
If he telling you to calm down.
He like, be cool. Was it? No, it couldn't have been Meta, though, because Meta came the next year.
I'm just saying, that's kind of ironic. Who was it?
He
telling you
KT.
To calm down.
KT. Kurt Thomas came, grabbed my shoulder, say, hey, man.
Okay, now that sounds different.
He say, hey, man, calm down. Calm down. But I'm like, coach, man, what the fuck? This nigga got like 30. I'm like, bro, he put bullets in us, bro. Like, what y'all mean? It's not cool. Foul him. Hit him. I'm like, bro, what y'all talking about? He ain't got no bruises on nothing. Hit him. Hit him. Like, what are you talking about, bro? Take a foul. He coming off the screen. Hit him. I'm like, bro, y'all want me to do it? But I'm like, asking coach, they like, man, somebody get wild, man. Woody like, come get wild, man, over here. Calm down, man. That man on the wood. They like talking to me like it's, before we knew it, the man had 50 and the garden was cheering for him. Mm. I say they cheering for him. I was sick, bro. Light-skinned man, I just want you to know, bro.
Light-skinned man.
You ruined my day. Oh, do you know the light-skinned man, the light-skinned man, the light-skinned man? Do you know the light-skinned man that lives on Drury Lane? Oh, bro, that light-skinned man, that got killer. Real vicious after that, dog. It was real, yeah, it was run away with it after that. He started shooting it from 40.
Farther than that.
Started turning around when he shoot. I'm like, you Gilbert Arenas now?
Yeah.
You Gilbert? Jesus Christ, Agent Zero pieces?
Knicks will do it to you.
Man, Knicks will do it. That's crazy. You steady.
Knicks get everybody their confidence.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.